Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for July 29th. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by the wonderful Liana. How are you doing, Liana?
Doing okay. Had some technical issues, but here, ready to talk Big Brother. And actually, Taryn, I think you're still looking for a sound, like an intro song for your Taryn show. Because I think Josh has a really, really good one for you. It goes something along the lines of da 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 da, and then the accompanying instrumentals include pots and pans,
and yelling, right?
Oh, and lots of yelling.
Yeah,
lots and lots of yelling.
This is a spoiler alert. Probably going to be a long live feed update. There was some insanity that went down last night, so there's a lot to get through. Not only was there insanity, but again, like, there was a ton that happened, starting with the very beginning of the day, where the house guests find out about the have not or the temptation competition, where you basically have the choice to play in this competition. If you win the competition, you get safety. If you come in last in the competition, you are automatically nominated as a third nomination. If you win the veto at that point, you are not replaced. There's no replacement for that third nomination. And Paul is ineligible to compete as the HOH in the temptation competition. How did you feel about this, Liana?
I mean, this is after hearing about it from Julie, this is something we expected. So the house guests were informed about this. And then it was really interesting to see what people were thinking with this new information. So, of course, Paul, who apparently is completely out of his element, if there's anything new that happens in the Big Brother house, he is like, oh, it's just like roadkill. Like, no, Paul, it's not just like roadkill. This is actually very different. And so the house guests start talking about, OK, what's the best strategy for us with this new decision? Right. Because they have the option to compete or to not compete. And from what I understand, I know Mark competed. He's the one who actually ends up winning this competition. And so he is safe. Jason comes in last. So he is on the block as a third nominee because he came in last place. I know also that Alex competed in this competition, and I believe there was at least four people, and Matt, I think, is confirmed. But that's as far as we know, those are the four that competed in the comp.
Yeah, so that's important too, because after the competition, after Mark wins, he's pretty angry because it was pretty clear that Alex was rooting for Matt to beat Mark. And it was also pretty clear that Paul was disappointed when Mark beat Matt in the competition and he was safe. So Mark is kind of at this point like gung-ho, all about, you know, it's the four of us. It's Jess, Cody, me, and Elena against the world. Screw everyone else. I'm going for this. He's pumped. He finally won a competition. He's getting his man juices going.
I don't really want to hear about man juices, but and it's so funny because he's doing this all while he is wearing a tutu. So imagine giant like Wreck-It Ralph Mark in this neon tutu, no shirt, this like tiny little pair of shorts and leg warmers. Oh, my gosh. It was so funny. But yeah, so we actually it's a good point you bring up because we don't know about the format of the competition. But from what we can infer, it seems that everyone was allowed to watch the competition. So that's why we were able to see that Alex was cheering on Matt, which is so funny because Jessica and Cody afterwards, they were saying, oh, you know, I can't believe they're all against us. Like, did you not know that beforehand? And they were shocked about that Alex and Matt could have some sort of relationship. It was like, well, while you spent all your time in the HOH, look at who's hanging out together. And Maven has been spending a lot more time with Alex and Jason.
Yes, well, this was actually important because before this competition, they were having a conversation where Cody was telling Jess, look, we need to talk to Paul about the temptation. We should tell him about what it actually does, because if he puts us up on the block, we have to use it anyway. And Jess was saying, no, I don't want to tell him. I don't want him to know that it doesn't last more than 1 week if I use it, that it only has one shot. And look, here's the thing. I think Paul is going to backdoor Alex. I think that Matt hates Alex. Paul has a great relationship with Matt. So I think Paul is going to backdoor Alex. I don't think we need to say anything. I don't want to put us in the limelight. I think we should just be hands off. Let this play out the way it's going to go. Cody was like, I really feel like we should maybe talk to Paul. And Jess was like, no, I have never listened to my instincts. My instincts are always right. My instincts are telling me right now to not say a word. He's going to backdoor Alex. And then immediately following the competition, they were like, Alex was dying for Matt to win that. So that's probably not the plan.
Oh my goodness. It's like, I really, this is something I've been thinking about. Who's a worse game player? Is it Cody or Jessica? Because they're both horrible, really bad. It's just so funny to watch their absolutely awful intuitions of the game. Like just, they're just screwing each other over, I guess, literally and in the game sense. And it's just so frustrating to watch because they are the anti-heroes that could go up against Paul. But to see these two people who are just so out of it. It's a little horrendous, like how bad they are. I mean, I really don't get their logic behind. I mean, Cody was correct. Cody was saying that, yes, we need to go up because otherwise, if we end up going up anyway, then you're going to have to use the hex. And Jessica was adamant against it because she was making assumptions based on Paul's behavior. And it was a whole mess and a whole bunch of wrong.
Yes, Jif Probst in the chat says they take turns being right and always go with the person who's wrong, yeah. Which is spot on. They always, there's always one of them that has, that's like, well, I don't know, I think maybe this is the better idea. And then ultimately they decide on the worst idea. I don't know how they managed to do it. It's like I studied abroad in Europe, and I often traveled with a friend of mine, and she every single time would choose the wrong direction to go when we were trying to navigate. That is Jessica and Cody. They just somehow manage. They have this really great skill to always choose the wrong direction. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's kind of impressive, honestly. Yeah. Like, if you think about it, statistically, they would make the right decision, you know, at least some of the time. But no, good on them.
Yeah. And, you know, to further add on to this bad decision making, Cody is talking about, like, look, I feel like if we're going to go up on the block, then I should just play in the competition, in the temptation competition. Jessica's like, no, we shouldn't play. We don't, like, because we're, it would look weird if we played when we know that, when we're trying to pretend that we're safe, it would give away the fact that maybe we're not safe. Again, not realizing that Paul is going to put you both on the block. You should have played in that competition. Don't know what you guys are thinking.
Ugh, yes. Yes. Just horrendous. I don't know why they wouldn't think that he would try and call their bluff. I mean, Cody had a little bit of inkling of it, but yeah. Oh, Jess, ugh, be better.
Yes. So Mark wins this competition and he is immune, which kind of throws a wrench in Paul's backup plan. He was kind of the backup eviction person. So he has to come up with a pawn to put up next to the next to Elena on the block. If the whole nominate Jess and Cody thing actually turns out to not be a bluff. So he's looking around for a pawn. He thinks about Josh. He tells Josh, maybe you need to be a pawn. He talks to Matt, saying, Matt, maybe you need to be a pawn. Ultimately, Alex volunteers again to be a pawn, and she is the one that he decides, okay, let's do this. Elena and Alex are the backup plan. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, well, so there are a couple things to unpack. You know, first, watching Paul put in a lot of work, actually, to get Mark to be the target. So this is yesterday before Mark ends up winning the competition, because Maven and Alex were set on Elena. They wanted Elena to go. But, you know, as you mentioned, I think on the update yesterday, that Paul is realizing that Elena really is in his back pocket. And so he pretty well shifted the target onto Mark. Of course, then Mark ends up winning the safety. So now he's okay. Well, Elena's going to be, you know, the person that's going to go up, and he starts running through plan A, plan B, plan C, and plan D. So plan A was to have Jody go up. Plan B is to have Elena go up. And then with Cody, say, if Jessica is the only one who's safe, plan C is then Elena and Alex, which Alex, of course, volunteers. Alex is not great. But Paul has worked so hard on Alex to convince her that she, you know, just needs to play gung-ho and she needs to step up for the team. Paul also tried to get Matt, I believe, to volunteer as a pawn. But the conversation ended up coming down to Alex is actually stronger. Matt was hesitant about going up as a pawn, which is good. I mean, that's a good instinct, right? Like, don't go up on the block if you don't have to. So I don't know where the baseline level for good instincts are, but he's like, Matt's got a little bit more than Alex. So that's always good to see. But obviously, they didn't end up having to go through with any of this.
Yeah, I think basically, you know, Alex volunteered the last time Paul was HOH. And it really, I think in her eyes, it worked out really well. She feels like that ingratiated herself into the big group. So she's like, oh, well, this is good gameplay to go up as a pawn and get people to trust you more. And so she just, like, she feels totally fine with it. Kevin, on the other hand, was like, what? Alex is going up as a pawn and Jason, you're already on the block? What are you guys doing? This is not a good thing. We don't want this. We just, like, took our only two votes to save ourselves. Like, this is no good. Kevin doesn't like this at all.
Yeah, I mean, good on Kevin, actually. And then, you know, he's kind of thinking ahead, thinking, well, if, you know, if Alex, you're on the block and Jason, you're on the block, what if Matt and Raven turn? So at least Kevin is being somewhat questioning of the loyalty in this big group. That being said, at this point, Matt and Raven, I don't think would pull away from the group or have an independent thought. So that's something that Kevin doesn't have to be worried about. But it's nice to see him actually considering that this might be an option and to have some sort of sense, unlike the rest of the people in this house.
Yes. So moving on, we had Mark talks to Josh about their whole beef, right? So, you know, he's like, listen, Luke. Mark again is trying to kind of like squash this, trying to apologize to Josh for, you know, I'm sorry I threw the stuff on you. Let's put this behind us. Josh is just this very strange character, because usually when somebody apologizes, at the very least, you kind of like just go, okay, sure, we're good. It's fine. You apologized. Josh doesn't accept it. Josh is like, I don't care that you're apologizing. I think you're a joke. I think that you should be ashamed of how you treated Dominique on her week out. I was so sad to see her alone, and you turned your back on her. You turned your back on Cody. You're a coward. Like, Josh just, he's relentless. And this is going to come into play later on in the day.
Oh my goodness. Yes. So Mark, like the little puppy dog he is, tucks his tail between his legs, tries to go make amends. And Josh is just not having it at all. And I don't, you know, it's really hard for me because I try to think, what is this person's motivation? What are they thinking? Let me try and get inside their head. And Josh's head is just some messed up jumble of wires that I feel if any one thing goes awry, like he will explode. So trying to understand his rationale behind this is very difficult, but clearly they have some beef and this has already started earlier in the day. And like you said, yeah, it's going to come into play later.
Yeah, I think it was Cleo the Leo who tweeted out something along the lines of like, I think that Josh is trying to be Ika. Like Josh, like anytime that Josh is doing this, Ika is one of his favorite players. I think he's in the mindset of like, I am Ika. I'm going to crush these fools. And I think that's, if you want to try to understand Josh even a little bit, just try to think like, this is this like, you know, early 20s, young, immature guy that is trying to be Ika Wong. And I think you'll start to kind of understand where he's coming from. It's utter insanity though. So.
Yeah, it's a madhouse.
Yes. All right. So we finally get to the nominations and Paul ends up calling Jessica and Cody's bluff. He puts them up on the block and absolute chaos ensues. They go up to the HOH room and Jessica and Cody are saying to Paul, why are you so stupid? You shouldn't have put us up on the block. Jessica saying, I tried to hint to you that this is going to make your HOH useless. And I told you if you had any questions, ask me. And you didn't come and ask me. Why didn't you communicate more with me, Paul, as HOH, thinking that you're going to put me up? Why didn't you talk to me more? Really just selling the point that she should have been talking to him more. But she's very, very frustrated. And obviously, Cody is very, very frustrated. And so this gets a little intricate. So this whole it's a series of events and it just spirals around. So I'll try to take this slowly. But Cody gets very frustrated. He said, you know what, Paul, you should have known better. You claim that you know this game, that you've been here before. You should have known better than to think that you had this twist under wraps and that you knew what it was. And, you know, you act like you're better than us. You know, all this stuff. And Paul's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you talking about? I don't act like I'm better than you. I've been here longer than you. I know about twists. That's all I'm going to say. And at one point, Jessica tries to, again, point out like, you're stupid. You messed up your HOH. And Paul tells Jessica, just calm down. Just lower your voice. And this just sets Cody off. To Cody, this is Paul telling Jessica to shut up. And he's like, don't you tell her to lower your voice. She can speak as whatever volume she wants. He gets in Paul's face and Paul says, get out of my room. He does exactly what Cody did to Josh a couple weeks ago. He says, get the F out of my room. And Cody gets further in his face and he goes, what are you going to do about it? And Paul says, nothing. Just get out of my room. And Jess is very upset. She pulls Cody out. Paul isn't done yet. He goes outside. He continues the argument into the kitchen. You were watching live at this time, right? You were out there tweeting. What, like, this is insanity, right? What were you thinking at this moment?
Right. So feeds come back and that is, I mean, as soon as feeds come back after the nomination ceremony, that's exactly when this whole storytelling that Taryn is embarking on starts, which you should consider. Maybe you should consider a career in community theater. Weren't we talking about that? Can you have a career in community theater? Anyway, so we start going through all of this absolute insanity. And it's my thought process at the time was just, what the hell is going on? I mean, I wish I had more nuanced, concrete thoughts about the situation. You're just watching these people blow up. And this is kind of a powder keg that has been there for a while. And I had assumed that feeds were going to be lit when they came back, as Ramses would say. And having them come off this way, where we have these shouting matches, where you have two people, or I guess three people, if you consider like Jody separate entities, like arguing with each other and just not being able to communicate effectively. Yeah, Puya, thank you. It's around 7:20 Big Brother time. I really highly recommend. Taryn's doing a great job doing the storytelling, but it was just so riveting to watch. Horrible gameplay, but just fascinating feeds.
Yes, it really was. And you can start at 7:20 and just watch for about an hour or so, and you won't get bored because, so as I mentioned, Paul takes this outside. He's yelling down at them in the kitchen now, continuing the fight. And then eventually, Jessica and Cody leave. They go out into the bedrooms. Paul comes down and continues venting about the whole fight. He's retelling immediately, like, this fool got in my face. We'll take this outside the house. We'll see what happens then. But inside this house, I'm not going to do anything. Let him swing at me. I don't care. Paul's fired up and he's got the whole house on his side.
He's going to cash him outside.
Yes, he very much is. And as Josh is wont to do, this got Josh very fired up as well. And Josh starts screaming at Cody in the bedrooms from the kitchen, like, oh, Meatball, Meatball's going home. Oh, Meatball came in. He tried to have a new personality, but it still sucks. Meatball's going home. Totally continuing the taunting. And again, like, people are just yelling at this point, and I don't even know why they're yelling. It's utter insanity.
I don't know why we're yelling.
Yes.
It was like trying to follow this line of logic of like, okay, so Paul is yelling at Cody, like, that I get those two yelling at each other. And then all of a sudden it was like Josh just gets wind some sort of fight is happening and all of a sudden jumps on board and just starts yelling. So I didn't quite understand. And he starts yelling at Mark just because his beef is with Mark. And oh my gosh. Yeah. It was so funny. He called, Puya in the chat was saying like, you're not friendship. You're not familia. I heard that so many times last night. So now it's good to know Matt's not familia. And, anyway. And then Josh has been periodically banging pots and pans earlier over the course of the past 24 hours. So it's something he hasn't really stopped. And so of course, once he gets fired up, out come the pots and pans, and he was going at it full force.
Yes. Yeah, so basically like how Mark got involved was Josh was yelling at Paul or yelling at Cody, trying to provoke Cody into coming out, I guess. And Mark eventually just has it. And he says, Josh, just shut the F up. And I bet that they're going to show this in the episode, so you'll be able to watch. But there's an immediate turn where Josh is like looking toward the bedrooms, and then Mark says, shut up. And he just goes, oh, don't you even start. And then he just rails on Mark for like 15 minutes before finally getting the pans out, going right up in his face like da 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 da. And Mark finally loses it. He stands up, like walks all manly Hulk-like toward Josh, rips the pans out of Josh's hands and goes like he's going to hit him. Josh is flinched and feeds cut.
So good. So good. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it's hilarious because, so, you know, obviously like Mark and Cody have been bonding, and then, you know, you have Josh on the side of Paul. But meanwhile, Mark, like these manly men of Cody and Mark together, Mark is still wearing the tutu. Yeah. Meanwhile, so no shirt, this tiny little neon tutu and tiny little shorts and leg warmers. And we joke about him being the Hulk based on his appearance. And up until this point, like, yeah, he did the hot sauce thing, and that's a very Hulk moment, but this, I think, like 30 seconds where he's sitting at the table and he's kind of got his arms folded and Mark's like not doing anything. He's very calm. Josh is just going off and all of a sudden, like, he turns into the Hulk and he just stands up and marches over. I really, oh my gosh, I thought, and feeds cut, it was so perfect timing. I really thought we were going to come back to an expulsion because I thought that Mark was going to hit him with a pan. Thankfully, yeah, that did not happen. But, yeah, oh my gosh, such good feeds.
And we're not even done, because while all of this is happening, Jessica and Cody are arguing in the bedroom. Jessica is pissed at Cody for getting so heated. She's saying that it was unacceptable behavior, that, like, I hope that's not how you act in real life, because the game is one thing, but to act like that in real life is just unacceptable. And, like, I don't know if we can work if that's how you are outside of the house. And Cody is just like, what do you want? What do you want from me? Like, he told you to shut up. I got in his face. That's just it. Jess then is just, she's just pissed. She just leaves. She says she needs some space. She talks to Paul. Paul is away talking to Jessica in the bathroom when all the Mark and Josh stuff is happening. And Paul is having a conversation with Jessica where Jessica is informing Paul about the temptation. She tells him what it actually finally entails. Look, it's, I stop the eviction from happening. You aren't able to compete in the HOH and it's only good for another 2 weeks. This is why you shouldn't have nominated me. It's a waste of an HOH. And Paul is like, why didn't you tell me this earlier? Because the only reason I put you up was because I thought you were going to be immune and I had a whole backup plan ready. And you, like, I didn't expect you to actually go up on the block. This is all your fault for not telling me. And, you know, who knows how actually truthful that is, yeah, but that's the line Paul is going with here. And Paul senses a crack here. He senses that Jessica is very unhappy with Cody. And so he makes his move immediately and starts talking about, you know what? Cody is really the downfall of your game here. Without Cody, you are golden. It's the only reason you're being targeted is because of Cody. And right out, like, after he says that, he goes upstairs. He talks to the rest of them. He says, guys, here's the thing. Here's the hole. This is the move. We need to talk Jessica into not using the halting hex because getting Cody out is better for her game. And that is something that they are going to continue to push for the rest of the night. But meanwhile, the feeds were cut when Josh and Mark went at it. The feeds come back and Mark and Cody are in one of the bedrooms commiserating as they are wont to do. And broing down, like they're both like, oh yeah, yeah, I got in Paul's face. He's a loser. Mark is bragging about, like, you should have seen how Josh flinched when I was about to hit him with the pan. What a little whiny, you know, so-and-so. They're just like, they're machoing out. Like true bros.
Yeah, true bros. And it's so funny because Mark's still wearing the tutu. He finally takes it off, thankfully, during the course of this conversation, although I didn't even notice. But yeah, very much bro, complete bro locker room talk. It's just, it was like two male gorillas, like, just trying to, like, feed each other's ego and just kind of, like, you know, hitting their chest. And so it was, you know, it, again, like, not good gameplay. I don't even know. It's just trying to make themselves feel better. So that's fine. They can go ahead and do that. But going back to what Paul was, you know, when Paul got to Jessica, that conversation, that's what should have happened before the nominations. Again, we don't know what the outcome would have been, but I'm really hoping that, you know, I know that this is Paul's plan to try and separate Jess and Cody. But I really do hope, you know, we'll see what ends up coming out and what, I'm not 100% sure what I think the best strategy for Jess is actually moving forward. But it's interesting to see Paul put this plan in place to try and get the halting hex to actually not be used come Thursday.
Yes. What I want is somebody to make a supercut of Cody and Mark bragging about their intimidation tactics and then cut right to later in the night, when both of them have their heads down, ashamed as their girlfriends are chastising them for their behavior. I thought that was a great juxtaposition.
Oh my gosh, it's perfect. Yeah, well, they have to do that. It's like the fight and then them being like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then afterwards when they're just like so sad. And Mark, when he goes on his like long apology tour, which I really don't want tickets for, but unfortunately we got. So funny. Yeah.
So So Paul is saying this is the button we need to push with Jessica. We need to get her to not use the halting hex. Christmas immediately goes and starts working on Jessica. She has a long conversation with Jess where they're talking about Cody and how unacceptable that behavior was. And Jess is reinforcing the point that, look, you know, you're better off without him, I think. How does this whole halting hex work? Oh, you can only use it once? I don't know. Maybe it would be best if he left. I don't know. But I don't want to undersell her work here because she does a very good job. I think Jess is truly grateful for having somebody to cry, a shoulder to cry on here. Christmas sort of culminates this with saying, like, maybe you didn't get a new boyfriend out of this experience, but you definitely got a new girlfriend. And they they hug and it's all great. But Christmas, I think, had an ulterior motive this entire time. I don't think this was too genuine on Christmas's part, but very well done.
Yeah. This was actually, I was really impressed with Christmas in this moment. And I had felt that she was definitely in the top tier of game players this season, but watching her just be so saccharine to Jessica, and Jessica was eating it up completely. And I mean, obviously Jessica was in a very vulnerable state, but Christmas was just so supportive, so caring, listened, but also while directing this ulterior motive of trying to get Jessica to completely break from Cody and then not use the halting hex.
Yes. And it seems like it's kind of working a little bit. Like, it seems as though they're starting to break through in terms of Jess is actually thinking about maybe not using the halting hex. In fact, Cody is talking to Kevin saying, I don't want her to use it. I want to go home. I think I'm bad for her game. I've dug a hole. I don't want her to be in it with me. And what it's really doing is furthering the divide between Jessica and Cody in terms of their actual relationship. This is a situation where Paul has, you know, decided on this strategy, and it's essentially to break them up as a couple and hope that means that she doesn't use the halting hex, and it's working. Elena also goes and talks to Jessica about basically the same thing and pushes for the same stuff. And he's really just created this monstrosity of showman's destruction. It's crazy.
He called himself the showman's killer in the room with Maven, which was hilarious. And I probably think that went right over their heads.
Well, we're in a showman's.
that probably doesn't apply to us. No. Paul would never do that to us. I mean, it's interesting because this is a game move, but ultimately this is a relationship move. I mean, you know, like, he is trying to sever them, break them up, which, can you tell me if they're together or not, Jody? Because they go on to have very, very lengthy conversations essentially throughout the entire night. Cody gets up, packs all his stuff, goes into the HOH room, leaves Jessica alone. Jessica has these conversations with Christmas and Elena where it's, yeah, it'd be better if you left him, you know, cut him, let him go. But then they sort of make up at one point because it was like Jessica tries to go break up with Cody. And then, oh my gosh, we need Haley Strong to do this because I don't understand relationships. So Jessica goes to Cody and sort of tries to break up with her, but then Cody is like, yeah, like, no, like, I'm, you are better in this game without me. Like, I can't give you what you need. And then Jessica's like, hey, like, fight for me. Like, where is this hothead attitude? Like, I want you. And so then she kind of recants on that. So their relationship is kind of in a tumultuous state right now. And I don't 100% know exactly where they stand.
Well, basically what happens is Jess gets pumped up by both Christmas and Elena. Like, you deserve better. You go in there, you give him a piece of your mind. And she goes into that room. I guarantee she thinks, I'm going to chastise him. He's going to come crawling back. She has no intention of actually breaking up with him, but she uses that language because she feels like she can intimidate him into capitulating and changing his behavior, right? So she's saying, I can't have somebody like that in my real life. I work at a job that's a very social, you know, environment, and I can't have that. Like, I can't have somebody like that. Like, it's going to be a hothead. I can't have somebody that I have to worry about all the time. And I need somebody that balances me out, that if I'm upset, they're going to be calm. They're going to balance me out, and vice versa. And she fully expects Cody to say, I'm so sorry. What a mistake. I know I can do better. I'll do better. But instead Cody says, I'm sorry that I can't do that for you. I can't balance you out. It's just not who I am.
Yeah, and Jessica was like, fight for me. Not in the way that you were fighting earlier, but please.
Yeah, Jess is dumbfounded. She can't even comprehend like that. She stands there and they have like a stare off for like 5 minutes, yeah. And she's just like, "Well, what do you mean you can't? Wait, what?" And it's essentially they have this standoff for a while. Cody just continues to say, "Look, this is who I am. You can't change who I am. I can't tell you that I can be better. I'm sorry." And he's breaking down. He said that he's tearing up. He says, "I'm sorry. I can't be better for you. I'm ashamed that I am this way. I'm sorry that if I embarrassed you, I don't want to do that. I'll do anything to make this better, but this is who I am." And it's just, Jess doesn't know what to do with that, because she doesn't want to break up with him. And they have a conversation later in the night, where she goes back to him. They're sleeping in the same bed, and she's like, like, "Give me something." And he's like, "I'm sorry. It's just who I am. And like, I don't think we're going to work on the outside." And she's like, "Whoa, wait a minute." At this point, Cody has fully turned it around on Jessica. And now she's in his bed cuddling up to him while he's saying, "I don't know if this is going to work." Cody talked to Mark a little bit earlier where he said, basically, like, "Listen, what happens is when I get into fights with the girls, I just want to bounce. I just want to get out of there." And so I think that's Cody's power dynamic. He's essentially saying, like, "Look, if that's what you want from me, you need to either change your expectations or this isn't going to work, because I am who I am, and I'm not going to apologize for it." So, yeah. Yes, Rob says, he's an alpha. He truly is.
What an alpha. Yeah, it was just very bizarre to watch, because it was, Cody is still fundamentally being Cody, like being his alpha behavior, but in this romance, like relationship type situation. So, he did sort of the equivalent of like, "Oh, I don't care." But with the like, "Well, like, I am who I am. So you're just going to have to deal with that." So it was very interesting to watch that interaction. And I mean, I know that they ended up sleeping in the same bed, so there was at least, they made up somewhat. But I don't know, now what's going to happen. Like moving forward, especially once their emotions cool down, they're actually going to make a game decision.
Yes. So. While all this is happening, Josh has not let up. Josh is continuing to bang the pots and pans. And man, I tweeted this out, but the real victim in all of this is that poor pan. When Josh finally puts it down, it's like, it's totally warped. It's wobbling on the table. Nobody is getting any even cooking out of that pan for the rest of the summer. Josh is truly a monster.
I felt so bad. It was like one of those things from infomercials where they like smash a pan with another pan. Like there's that gif that's out on the internet. It was so funny because, yeah, the pan is just completely warped. So those, those $13 for that pan, that's coming out of his stipend or stipend, however he pronounces it.
Yes. So Josh, as I mentioned, he's still banging the pans. He's still yelling at Mark and Cody. And everyone else is now like joining along and having fun. At one point, Matt and Elena and Raven are in the HOH room looking at everyone downstairs in tutus banging and dancing around. And Matt says to Elena, "You quit your job for this."
I know. Like, let me just hammer it home, like, how ridiculous this situation is. And Elena's like, "Oh my gosh, he's going to get, like, Josh is going to get hired by the carnival." Like, that's how much of a circus it is.
Yeah. So all this is happening. And meanwhile, like, Alex is like hyped up on some sort of drug because she's just loving. She's just like, yes. Every time Josh is yelling, she's just like, yeah, she's dancing around. She's dangling her feet around. She's just like totally into it. She's just going nuts. They're all going kind of nuts. And eventually production has to tell Josh, "Look, shut it down. We got enough footage. Now we need to shut this down. We don't want to actually have to kick anyone out. Let's chill out for a bit now." So they eventually shut Josh down. But man, that whole thing was just, it was nonsense. It was truly nonsense. Yeah.
I mean, thankfully production did shut it down because it was clearly starting to spread, because all of a sudden, like, now Alex is wearing a tutu and now Paul has a tutu. And then Alex is running around with the lint remover, just like hitting people, specifically Jason. So so thankfully
hitting him. Like, yeah. She was just like, let's get Jess to not use the thing and like make her cry and then we'll slap her in the face. She was just like totally going crazy. like there was something in the air. I think there was a gas leak in the house last night.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my goodness. Or something. That or like Christmas's meds accidentally got mixed into the food. Like maybe that was Raven's doing with the uncooked chicken. I don't really understand. Oh, maybe that's what it is. It's there's some type of like parasite that they now have in their brains because Raven doesn't cook the food all the way through.
There we go. We solved it. Yeah. So as we've chronicled the Jessica and Cody breakup, quote unquote, there was another breakup that happened last night. Elena and Mark, as I mentioned, Elena chastises Mark for his behavior with Josh. She says that was unacceptable. That was ridiculous. Mark tries to defend himself a little bit. He's like, look, what? I just took the pans from him. And she's, look, that did not look good. I don't like being associated with that. And Mark is, he's just hanging his head, sad Mark. He's just staring like very upset. He's not liking this. He's very strong feelings for Elena. She does not reciprocate those feelings. This was a very awkward conversation to listen to. It was very much like the previous night. It's just a very just like, oh, I don't like listening to this. This is very awkward. And ultimately, Mark just says, okay, look, just once we get out of the house, just agree to let me take you on a date in Dallas. I'll show you the man I really am. As long as you agree to that, we're good. And Elena says, yes. Okay, I can agree to that. Rob Sestry News says, Mark, not an alpha. What do you think?
Not an alpha. Yeah. First of all, I think that maybe Mark's BB superhero should be like the pan saver, like pan protector if we're going for alliteration. I'm just trying to save the pans. But I think that, you know, Mark and Elena have had such a tumultuous relationship, especially over the past couple days. Mark cannot take a hint. This is a guy who Elena has said multiple times, when I'm angry, I don't want to be touched. I don't want anybody near me. And then Mark goes, well, can I have a hug? No, you can't have a hug. She just told you she doesn't want to be touched by you. So she has been, you know, subtly trying to distance herself from him, trying to get her space. And he's just not taking a hint. And essentially, you know, these conversations have just been, you know, this gives her an excuse to be like, look, I don't appreciate this behavior. Like, we need to break up. If there's one couple that's broken up, like, it needs to be Mark and Elena. And I just can't help but empathize with her because I can't imagine being in the Big Brother house, have somebody who, yeah, is this stage 5 clinger just always following you around, but you need him for gameplay. And so you can't like completely just break up with him and run away from him because you're trapped in this tiny house. And it's just a disaster for her. And this kind of came to a head. And I think maybe she got through to him.
Yes. It did seem like she did. He starts his apology tour. He starts going around. He talks to Paul, and Paul has a very condescending conversation with him, as Paul does. And Paul is like, did you watch my season? Did you watch my season? Yeah. Do you remember Pauly? Yeah. You're best friends with Pauly right now. You are Pauly's number one guy right now. You need to stop that. That's all. Unscrew yourself. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, unscrew yourself. Like, great. Thanks for the advice, Paul.
Yeah. So Mark goes around. He starts his apology tour. He says, look, I'm sorry if my behavior caused you to be uncomfortable. He goes to Jess and he says, I'm sorry about that. Jess is like, don't apologize to me. I'm not accepting this apology. I appreciate what you do with Josh. He also goes to Cody, and this is post Cody's conversation with Jessica. So they're both commiserating about like, yeah, we both got chastised by our girlfriends and this sucks. And Mark is like, now I have to go apologize to people. And Cody's like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to work, but maybe outside the house. I don't know. It was very different tone than their previous conversation where they were bragging about their conquests.
This is just so soap opera. I can't get over it. It's just, and you know, it's so funny because I tell myself, I watch Big Brother because I love the strategy. I love the complexity and I love seeing great game moves. And then I watched the feeds last night and I'm like, got a pen and I'm like, yes, drag her. So horrible. I mean, horrible gameplay, but just fascinating to watch.
Well, it really made me think because Paul's gameplay is very similar to what Derek did, but it's kind of like Paul is the little finger to Derek's Varys, right? Where like Paul just thrives in chaos.
Yes.
And like where Derek would have just shut this down immediately, Paul fuels it. He gets in Cody's face. He says leave. He continues the fight in the kitchen. He eggs Josh on. Well, Matt tells Josh, like, okay, this is enough. Paul's like, no, let him go. Let him go. Paul loves it. And so this is essentially like, you know, everybody said, I would have liked Derek if he had just owned his stuff in the DR and if he wasn't so boring. I feel like Paul is giving us exactly what people wanted from Derek. Granted, he's probably not as good. And we don't know if he'll ever be as good or do as well. But he really is like the chaos version of Derek. It's lunacy.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I've like been thinking about this comparison also because trying to understand like what are the similarities and what are the differences? And so obviously there's the complete chaos that Paul thrives in, but I do see elements of really good gameplay, but also he does a lot of idiotic things as well. So I don't, you know, like for example, winning this HOH, probably not something that he did not need to do. But it seems that as far as the chaos goes, it's a strategy. I don't know again, if he's doing it on purpose or if he is just this chaotic as a human being. And so, or a human being. And so he just fuels that fire and just, I mean, his conversation with Dominique was him just completely yelling, and he was being the aggro one in this situation. And we see that that's another place where this chaotic, intense strategy works out really well for him.
Yeah, we did get a "I'm a human being" from Josh last night, so we weren't without his catchphrases. And then to cap it all off, we got the Big Brother Stormwatch. The veto is going to be that Stormwatch competition they had to study, and Jessica and Cody, this is when they were lying in bed together. They decided not to study despite being on the block. So it looks like they are probably not winning this competition. They are not going to be winning this veto.
No, they have very clearly from the beginning made the decision to just, they're not going to study. Mark also has stopped studying, but that makes sense because he's already safe. So there's no reason for him to study. But if you're on the block, I don't understand why you wouldn't be studying, but of course they have the halting hex. So I think that this also, you know, continues to add to the evidence that that Jessica is going to use the halting hex come Thursday because they feel so confident that they don't need to study. Okay, so then we have the Stormwatch competition that comes up, and the house guests are getting all of the clues for all of the different hurricanes. And so this is very similar to what we saw last year, where the competition is reading a teleprompter, or we assume it's going to be the same. Jessica and Cody aren't going to study, so obviously I think this adds to the evidence that that Jessica is going to end up using the halting hex, you know, despite all of this conflict that she's had with Cody. So that's probably pretty clear, but everybody else is pretty much studying except for Mark, who is already safe. So it seems that the winner of the competition is going to come from the Paul and friends side of things.
Yes. And so we finally cap the night off. Jessica is saying, yes, I am still going to use the halting hex to save you, Cody. Despite what you're saying that you want to sacrifice yourself, I can't not use the hex. Even though everyone's basically telling me not to. This might not last, but it seems as though this is still in effect. She's still going to use the halting hex. This week still will be all for naught but to flush this halting hex, and Cody will stay in the game. But again, anything could change, but probably not with the veto because they're not studying.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it seems like those two are just going to end up staying on the block. There have been some very minor conversations where Paul has said he wants to win veto and then has still talked about trying to convince Jessica to not use the hex. So because Cody would go home, it's in her best interest to send Cody home. Don't use the hex. Let us help you and send Cody home. But he hasn't mentioned about actually taking her off the block. So I can't imagine if she's going to be sitting up there that she wouldn't use it. It's entirely possible that Paul does decide to pull her off in an attempt to get Cody to go home. So that's something that we could see, but that seems pretty unlikely.
Yes, we have a question from Lauren. Should they pull Jess down? Yeah, I think they should. If they're trying to get her to use the halting hex, if she's off the block, then they'd have a better shot at her not using it. But, you know, It really, and here's the thing, because they seem to have convinced themselves that it actually is in Jessica's best interest to not use the halting hex, but it's not. It's not at all. Like, sure, Cody drags her social game down, but Cody is a huge meat shield in front of her. And as somebody who's willing to leave the game right now for her, he's basically always going to win the veto and use it on her. Mm-hmm. It's like, usually you're afraid of being a secondary target because if the person that they're targeting wins the veto, you go home. But if Cody wins the veto, he's using it on Jess to save her. So she doesn't have to worry about that. He's just this huge shield in front of her that's going to probably win some HOHs, give her tons of weeks of buffer. It's totally not in her best interest to let Cody go home, but even Cody believes it's in her best interest for Cody to go home. So it's again, she's doing the right move in using the halting hex to keep him, but for the wrong reasons, because she doesn't understand. She genuinely thinks it's better for her game if he leaves. It's this season is just nuts.
Classic Jessica. Oh, Jessica. Yeah, I think that this is a situation where, you know, even, okay, so this halting hex is going to buy you another week. Then both of you have the option to play an HOH in the competition, gives you more shots to stay. It just, if you, you know, I understand that there is sort of this, oh, okay, well, this halting hex is going to keep her safe just this week. Let's think long term. What is it that's going to give her the best shot moving forward? And the Paul's and Crew's argument is cutting Cody gives you the best shot to move forward long term. But I agree with you. I don't think that that's the case. I think that keeping Cody there, keeping that huge target is good for her game. She needs to use the halting hex to keep both of them safe this week.
Yeah. And what happened previously when Cody left was she was still put on the block, but nobody wanted to get her out because she was a waste of an HOH. So give yourself a couple more weeks of Cody in the house. Then he leaves and you're back in that same spot only like 5 weeks from now. So it's much better for you to have Cody in the house. We'll see if she ultimately sticks with that decision. But I think it's time to wrap this up. This was a very lengthy update. There was a lot to talk about. Let me know, Liana, if there's anything that we missed. But I think we've basically covered it all.
Yeah, I think those are all of the major takeaways to, you know, a pretty boring night. So
yeah,
I think we're good. Yeah. Oh my goodness. It's going to be really interesting to see, you know, the fact that they had an entire night of just complete insanity. Then Big Brother kept them up all night studying for a veto comp that's not going to even matter. Like, that's just them, Big Brother, torturing these people this week. And I love it. I'm here for it.
Yes. Yeah, so make sure you check out our Sunday night episode recap. It will be after the West Coast airing. I advertised this last week, but this week it's probably going to happen. Assuming there's no power outages, Karen Singbill will be on to talk about the Sunday night episode and all of that. And we will be back tomorrow morning at noon Eastern to update you on the live feeds and the LFC roundtable. The OG crew will be back Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Liana is already working on a way to knock one of them out.
I'm thinking about it.
Yes. And of course, make sure you check out The Taran Show. A new episode will be dropping Tuesday, as well as my American Ninja Warrior podcast. Lots of great stuff coming your way, so check it all out. Thank you so much for everyone that joined us. We will see you next time.